This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raven. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing of Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Terry Tote and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobinot, on this Saturday morning, June the 1st. I bet we didn't even, change the calendar.
No, we're just winging it.
I'm slacking off this morning, Uncle Ralph.
Yeah, well, just Saturday. Start the month off right, be a slacker.
Well, that's nothing new.
Man.
So we survived. Hopefully.
Yes, we dodged a bullet again last night, I guess, as you watched TV and listen to the radio about all the areas around us that got pounded again. And I called my son down in Sullivan, Missouri, and they got a lot of wind and rain, but he said the alligators and the tigers and lions are still in their cages. So
I told Prango this morning that the water in the moat around the radio station is at the proper level again. So
yeah, I was going to ride an alligator over here, but there was a place or two he had to get out on dry land. So
well, the good news is at this point we don't know of any injuries, and that's the
personally,
wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, in the St. Louis area, and they were quick to point out that a lot of structural damage, but no loss of life. And that's a very important thing to remember. You know, you can rebuild a house or a business, but once a life is gone, a life is gone.
Yeah.
And so a lot to be thankful for. It's amazing how weather can change. A year ago, we couldn't get rain, and this year we can't get it to stop. So it's amazing.
Well, and 6 weeks from now. We may be begging for rain.
You
never know.
You don't know. You don't know what July and August and that time's going to bring. And, of course, we in this area have so much to be thankful for, folks. Look at what's going on in Oklahoma in that area and thank your lucky stars that you didn't have that. Although, people are listening in the Gillespie, Mont Olive, Staunton area probably say, hey, what's he talking about? We had all kinds of damage, and our feelings and thoughts go out to those people who did have damage.
Not only in those areas, but northern Macoupin County, Vernon area, Farmersville, north of Raymond as well, on into Christian County. So there's a lot of areas that did sustain some damage last night, and as you mentioned, they can rebuild that, and hopefully we will have a situation where a week from now we can proudly say, hey, no injuries, and that's good.
Yeah. One thing that's impressive, this morning before I did the newscast, went on Ameren's website, and they always tell you how many the power outages in that. Madison County, over 12,000 customers without power in Madison County.
Yeah, they got hit pretty hard, too, and so there's a lot to be thankful for in this area, and we, again, our heart and thoughts go out to those people who, because, you know, you go to bed or you're sitting by the TV and your house is there and 30 minutes later it's gone or part of it's gone, and it's pretty devastating.
Yeah, it's one thing to observe it from afar, and then it's another thing to experience it, and hopefully none of us will have to experience it, but some of us do from time to time.
Yeah, and, you know, it'll touch someone's lives in this area sooner or later, I'm sure, because we're kind of in a path through here, although our area has been very fortunate over the years that we've had individual structures tore up, but not mass. I remember in 48 of going over and working in Bunker Hill for 3 or 4 days, and the devastation, you looked at it and you couldn't believe it, you know.
Well, and as time goes on, structures get rebuilt. Perhaps they'll get rebuilt to more exacting standards and maybe a little bit stronger. And technology is zooming along to the point where maybe we're going to be able to identify these storms a lot quicker. I mean, even if we just go back 10 years, Ralph and, and Tobin, and, you know, the ability to identify a severe thunderstorm, which could be producing a tornadic activity, was kind of iffy. And now it's pretty much a standard thing. So
what was it, the last go around that I was watching the Weather Channel and some of the technology they have now, they could see the winds forming into a tornado, lightning strikes,
all that. You know, the Doppler technology and the different types of radio waves they use to describe to measure things. It's very, very amazing. And you know, a lot of this, there was a thing on I guess Discovery or something like that years ago about the storm chasers, and I kind of watched that a few times, and you think, gosh, these guys are plumb nuts to do this. But you know, the amount of information they gathered, that scientists have gathered from people who do this sort of thing is pretty amazing. So.
Yeah, and those guys last night in that car, they got a good close look up at it, blew the car about 200 feet. Thank goodness there was no personal injury. Tore up their car, no personal injuries. But all those programs, you know, and Terry, sometimes I know I do, and I'm sure everybody else does, says, my God, why are we pumping all this money into a space program? Well, the technology that's come out of the space program is just unbelievable.
Well, the ability to track these storms is the space program. It's the geosatellites that are geostationary in orbit that travel at the same speed that the Earth spins and are located over one point in the Earth. They're the ones that track this stuff. So without that technology that goes all the way back to the late 50s when Sputnik was first launched, back in 1957, you know, this is where all this started and has advanced to this point. So,
and by the way, last night I was visiting, visiting with a couple friends of ours, Velma Rose Fesser and Narmus Lukaber, and good morning, ladies.
Yes.
I got a frog in my throat. Just thinking of you two ladies, give me a frog in my throat. How about that?
But we'll just leave that right there.
Terry and I was laughing off of the air. Velma Rose, we don't hold you responsible for Carl Ray. We just wanted you to know that.
Our special Fillmore correspondent.
Yes, yes.
And the Fillmore River's probably up a little
bit.
Oh,
I imagine the Fillmore River is probably bank full.
I bet so.
And then that's another thing my son said this morning. It's you can't believe how high. See, they're just where he's at, just about a mile from the Merrimack River.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
They're at Merrimack Caverns, and he said, you can't believe how high the Merrimack River is and still getting higher.
Wow. Well, we'll muddle our way through it and make do and you know, come out stronger on the other side, hopefully. So, again, we'll have and the thing about, while we're on the subject matter of weather, the thing about the people who are involved, and I know Jim Pitchford from Macoupin County, Jim has been involved with the ESDA and the emergency management stuff, and I'm sure he's out right now probably inspecting things in Gillespie. I'm just guessing, taking a look at what happened. They look for patterns on how debris is dispersed. Was it a straight line wind? Was it a tornado? You know, a straight line wind's kind of like a wind that's kind of like in the shape of a bulldozer, just kind of plows right over you, as opposed to a tornado, which has the vortex and everything. So, you know, without these people who are involved in this aspect of identifying the debris and the remnants of storms, we, you know, again, that's just a teaching tool. It's something how we learn stuff.
Our good friend in Nokomis, Joe
Gasperich.
Gasperich is in on that. Yeah. And it's a very important job, you know, and a lot of time and effort goes into, and the information they gather from this that maybe will prevent problems the next time. You know?
Well, knock on wood, no one was hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, no one was in the Gillespie High School building when it went through. No, I mean, no one was hurt.
At least at this point, we don't know.
Yeah, no. I mean,
so. You know, and my buddy Charlie, who's the weatherman in Peoria, and he talks about how. What happens is there's a lot of different weather programs. Some are based in Europe, some are based in Asia, some are based in America. And what weather people try to do is keep track of the historical aspects of things and find a weather model, a computer model that is as accurate as possible. And it seems like the most recent models are the European models. They've been able to track and predict more closely some of this bad weather. And I remember Charlie explaining to me one day, and he would pull all these things up on his computer and says, well, this is what we're looking at here, and this is what we're looking at here. And he'd have notes about what was historically, you know, more correct as far as predicting the paths and the amount of precipitation and the threat of weather. And it's absolutely amazing to, you know, you just can't be a weather guy. Meteorologists are trained. And most of us will say a comment, well, you know, they predict rain, a 50-50 chance of rain, and you can be wrong. And, well, that's not what the forecast says. The forecast, if it's calling for a 50% chance of rain, it's saying there's a 1 out of 2 chance it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, that if it doesn't rain, that doesn't mean that the weatherman's wrong.
No.
And even if they're calling for a 90% chance of rain and it doesn't rain, it doesn't mean that they're wrong. It just means there's a 1 in 10 chance it won't rain.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of misalign some of the weather service people sometimes with their forecasts.
Years doing news. I'll never forget that blizzard that we had. It was like the perfect storm. We had heavy snow to the north, ice in the middle, freezing rain to the bottom, and it was just a matter of inches. If this front moved up, we were going to get heavy snow. If it moved down, we were going to get, I've never seen anything like it. It's just unreal.
We will talk some sports here.
Yeah.
But first, let's take a break, and we'll come back with more on Sports Saturday, as opposed to Weather Saturday, right after this.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
If you have leaky, wet, and musty basements and crawl spaces, Midwest Basement Tech has a permanent guaranteed solution. There's only one place to call. Midwest Basement Tech, 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Don't make a mistake with your home's foundation repairs. Call now, 1-800-848-9805, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Cloudy skies for today. There's a chance for some rain or thunderstorms. We'll have a high of around 78 degrees. Partly cloudy skies with a slight chance for rain for tonight. Expect a low of around 58 degrees. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies. Expect a high of around 70 degrees. At 9:17, we have a temperature reading of 65 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:18, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Terry Tote and Uncle Ralph.
We were just thinking about Paris Frozen Foods and the chicken kebabs and pork patties and butterfly pork chops.
Yeah.
You've already, how many times you had the grill out already this year, Ralph?
Well, I've had 3 so far, and I got the big one next Friday is Crime Stoppers golf tournament at Indian Springs, and we got 700 chops to cremate that day.
You won't have any trouble getting rid of them.
No.
I thought you retired from the grilling business.
Yeah,
I
retired. Got a cookout every Friday this month. I'm really retired. And then, of course, we got the Bud Reinecke Memorial coming up later on, and a lot goes on in June, July. That's the big fundraiser time for cookouts and stuff. And so
fire up those grills, buddy. I tell you what, stuff's good on the grill. Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh, that's good on the grill. So, by the way, with what happened storm-wise last night, of course, the Cardinal game was postponed last night, and now they're going to play two games today. So that means we're going to have a game on AM 1540, the Cards and Giants, 11:20 with the pregame show. The first of two today, we'll have the daytime game, 11:20 on AM 1540. So we will have Cardinals baseball today.
And as I understand it, the people that had tickets for the game last night, that will be honored for the first game today. Yeah. And then
they're going to kick
play
them out
later on. And then, of course, Mother Nature's probably saying, "No, wait a minute, boys.
Yeah.
we may mess this one up."
Have they ever had a triple header before? Probably not.
Man.
Well, you know, the way the schedule makers and stuff are, it's sometimes hard to get these games in if they're rained out, like Kansas and Kansas City and the Cardinals. Yeah, they were done for the year. So.
Yeah. You know, I've often thought it would be fun to be a grounds crewman at the ballpark, at a major league ballpark, until you run into a situation like you had Thursday night / Friday morning.
Yeah.
Of course. That's a bit much for me.
And it's amazing, of course, with these modern-day ballparks, the drainage system and stuff is just so good that mm-hmm. the water gets off, and, of course, they cover the infield and stuff, and it stays mm-hmm. fairly dry, but still. Conditions like last night and night before, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that game that ended up at, 4 in the morning? The public address announcer is a morning drive host. I can't imagine his work schedule. He'd leave the ballpark and probably went straight to work. There's no sleep there.
Yeah.
It was...
He gets no sympathy from me.
Yeah.
I know.
They're making the big bucks.
You get to work at the ballpark, for God's sakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're complaining?
That's tough duty, isn't it?
No, he wasn't complaining. I'm just saying that had to have been tough.
Better not complain.
That's right.
He can be replaced.
That's right. Yeah. I'd take that job. I'd love that job.
They wouldn't give it to you, though, Tob.
I know.
But you can dream.
Darn the luck.
Remember the old saying, Tobin, daydreams come true at night.
That's true. Heck, I'm doing PA for the Toppers. I can't get any better than that. Come on.
Oh, didn't they tell you about the contract that they voided?
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Budget cuts. Dang it.
By the way, the South Central Conference did announce its all-conference baseball and softball teams this past week, since all the teams and the South Central traditionally on their all-conference teams, whatever the sports season happens to be, they wait for all their teams to be done before making the announcement. So here's the South Central Conference all-conference baseball team. First team, pitchers Brady Anderson from Gillespie and Philip Reedy from Southwestern. Bo Davis from Staunton at the catcher's position. Infielders Jordan Briggs from Roxana, Drew Law from Litchfield. Little Hutch, Tyler Hutchison from Greenville, Brady Anderson from Gillespie, and A.J. Sitko from Staunton. In the outfield, Roston Zarodka from Pena, Hunter Watson from Southwestern, and Brady Lynch from Hillsboro, and the D.H. utility man Levi Wallace from Roxana. Named to the second team for the South Central Conference, pitchers Matt Tomazzoli and Nick Perino from Hillsboro and Southwestern, respectively. Even though second teamer, those pretty good pitchers there.
Yeah.
Luke Cerruti from Hillsboro at the catcher position. Infielders Blake Lawson from Southwestern, Blaine Ray from Staunton, Ryan Crabby from Litchfield, and Michael Henderson from Gillespie. In the outfield, Andrew Fry from Southwestern, Clint Meadows from Greenville, and Ian Kirk from Pena. And Leighton Godoyo from Vandalia and Alex Metzger from Pena as DH and utility man. And named to the third team, baseball team, Logan Reardon from Roxana, Tyler Hutchison from Greenville, and Zach Stewart from Gillespie as pitchers. Matt Hargrave from Roxana as a catcher. Infielders include Eric Beyer from Southwestern, Randy Skiff from Roxana, Chris Halpin from Gillespie, and Cooper Scharf from Litchfield. And in the outfield, Derek Engelke from Gillespie, Austin Todd from Roxana, and Spencer Heineman from Southwestern. And the DH utility guy on third team, Nate Jenkins from Litchfield. So congratulations to those guys. And baseball season went way too fast.
Yeah, it did. And
for me,
was a year seemed like when we had a lot in the South Central Conference. South Central Conference had a lot of good athletes, a lot of good ball players.
Yeah.
And as you said, there's Matt Tomazzoli on that second team, and this guy had a great year, and he's got, let's see, he's got one more in.
Junior. So, and South Central Conference all-conference softball team members, first team pitchers, Allison Moran from Southwestern and Whitney Gray from Greenville. Catcher, Ashley Myers from Roxanna. Infielders, Lindsay Snyder from Southwestern, Heather Wernel from Greenville, Kirsten Brown from Staunton, Amber Bruno from Vandalia, and Shelby Gray from Hillsboro. In the outfield, Hannah Wilfong from Southwestern, Emma Richardson from Greenville, Katie DeLuca from Hillsboro, and Ellen Gray from Gillespie, and the DH utility person, Tessa Steffens from Litchfield. Second team members in pitcher position, Emily Atkinson from Roxanna, Kayla Perfetti from Hillsboro, and Tessa Steffens from Litchfield. Catcher, Jackie Hoffmeyer from Greenville. Infielders, Molly Gray from Gillespie, April Stitch from Greenville, Riley Scharf from Litchfield, and Katie Wooldridge from Southwestern. Second team outfielders, Morgan Wutzel from Vandalia, Ashlyn Ringhausen from Southwestern, and Kristen Bates from Carlinville, and in the DH utility and second team, Caleb Perfetti from Hillsboro. And third team members, softball team members, Hannah McInerney from Staunton at the pitcher position and Taylor Monk from Gillespie, Amanda Beeman catching Southwestern, infielders Cindy Scroggins from Roxanna, Bailey Hughes from Carlinville, Kelsey England from Pena, Allie Goldisich from Gillespie, and Stephanie Gaffner from Greenville. Outfielders include Kylie Sellers from Vandalia, Randy Hopkins from Southwestern, Taylor Monk from Gillespie, and DH utility Taylor Well from Vandalia. So congratulations to those young ladies. So they certainly entertained us this year.
Yeah.
Although we lost about a third of our broadcast schedule because of the rain.
Yeah. Weather problems, and we still not right local, but we've still got some teams. Chatham Glenwood is playing soccer?
Still playing soccer. In fact, let's go over what we have here. And you know, these facilities that host the state tournaments, the primary goal is to get a state tournament champion crown, and they have various ways of doing it, if it even boils down to a coin flip. I mean, it's in the rules. If they need to use it, they hope they never have to. So these ground crews that work at these stadiums in Peoria for the baseball and Eastside Center and East Peoria for softball have done a great job. In 1A baseball yesterday in the semifinals at state, Putnam County beat Sidell Jamaica 3-1, and Waterloo Jabot beat Wolf Lake Shawnee 9-2. And in the state championship, it'll be Jabot taking on Putnam County about 11:30. Sidell Jamaica and Wolf Lake Shawnee playing right now for third place. In 2A baseball, Lyle beat Totopolis 2-1 yesterday. So Lyle beat the Shoes yesterday. The Pleasant Plains Cardinals were playing against Eureka in the second semifinal. In the fifth inning, game gets suspended. They're going to start. Actually, they're underway right now, I suspect, unless there's rain falling. They'll finish that game up, and then depending on who wins and loses, they'll send the loser to the third-place game against T-Town at 3 this afternoon, and then the winner will play at 5:30 against Lyle in 2A baseball. In 3A, sectional championship set for today, and again, this is weather permitting. At 11 o'clock this morning at Sacred Heart Griffin, Glenwood's baseball team will take on Bloomington, and at Effingham, Triad will take on Mount Vernon. And in 4A baseball, sectional championship play at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington, it'll be Alton's Redbirds taking on Moline. In girls 1A softball, Toledo Cumberland beat Gorville 8-4 in the state semi yesterday at Eastside Center in East Peoria. Milledgeville beat Illini Bluffs 10-3. So the Gorville-Illini Bluffs game will get underway at 10. About 12:30 for the state championship in 1A softball, Toledo Cumberland against Milledgeville. And in 2A, Tremont beat Peru St. Bede 6-3, and the defending state champs Nashville lost to Kankakee McNamara yesterday 3-2. Kankakee McNamara must have a heck of a team. Nashville was loaded and the defending state champs.
Yeah.
3-2 the final there. So Nashville will take on St. Bede at 3 later today, Tremont against Kankakee McNamara. for the 2A softball championship. Now, in 3A softball, sectional play at Mount Zion today, Mattoon is scheduled to take on Glenwood. Glenwood's got still two or three teams playing in the postseason here. Yeah. Glenwood's playing Mattoon at 11 this morning. The Salem sectional championship between Alton Marquette and Columbia has been postponed, already pushed back till Monday at Salem. So they'll play that on Monday.
So we've got Alton and Alton Marquette both
yes,
in the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. Alexis Silkwood will have to wait till Monday to pitch in Salem.
Yeah.
And 4A play, it'll be Belleville East against Normal Community West today in Normal. And in girls soccer, as you mentioned, Ralph, Glenwood has won their state semifinal yesterday 2-1, so the Titans are in the championship game. They will play at 1 this afternoon against Crystal Lake Prairie Ridge, as Prairie Ridge beat Lamont 3-1. So good luck to Glenwood in 3A.
Yeah, Glenwood got three. They got a softball team, baseball team, and a soccer team.
I just tell you right now, in girls soccer, not very often do you have a public school win. It's always the private schools that win. I think Rochester's the only school in 1A history to ever win a state championship and be a public school. So it's very, very rare. You know, and that's an issue that the IHSA still needs to deal with. It still draws the ire of a lot of people, including myself, because Waterloo-Jabot, for example, playing in 1A this year, they were in the higher class, but they didn't have a winning record, so they get to be bumped down. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't see Hillsborough being bumped down or Litchfield being bumped down or anybody. You know, and if you're a 1A school and you have a losing record, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole concept is flawed, and I'm just shocked that, you know, private schools only make up 15% of the IHSA, and yet...
But they rule the roost.
They rule the roost.
Yeah.
You know, they kiss their butts right and left. So
yep.
I cannot figure that out to save my life. So.
No, it's there needs to be a little fine tuning. Need to stick a screwdriver in somebody's ear and do a little fine tuning.
Do a little adjusting,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, get their attention. But the high school sports is rapidly coming to a close for another year.
And that would be 12 or 13 weeks away from Football Friday. So
yep, be here before you know it.
Countdown has begun.
We laugh and joke about that, and we'll start a countdown, and before you know it, Football Friday will be here. And, you know, nobody wants to see the summer gone, but Football Friday is a great time.
It is a great time, a great time of year. You know, Ralph, since the high school season has kind of wound down here, and even the junior high season, we've had some success this year. If we go all the way back to last fall, of course, the Nokomis 8th grade boys baseball team won the state championship in junior high.
Yeah.
So that was quite an accomplishment. In fact, they finished the season undefeated, coached by Bob Davis, and that was a fun run. And, of course, those kids will be freshmen next year. In the spring for the baseball program.
Yeah.
And then in the winter time in December, the Mount Olive Bombers 8th grade girls basketball team won the state championship.
Yep.
They played that game at Auburn, and the Bombers are, you know, obviously looking to have some success now as these young ladies go from 8th grade into the freshman season. Boys and girls basketball, you know, maybe we didn't have what you'd call a stellar team around, but we had a lot of parity, a lot of good, competition, slugfest competition.
Yeah.
And, of course, Litchfield gets to the girls get to the super sectional where they get dispatched by St. Thomas More. And here in baseball, you know, we had kind of a neat run by the Mount Olive Wildcats who ended up in the sectional championship before bowing out, but had a great 10-inning win against the Carrollton Hawks in the opening game of the sectional tournament at Blackburn, and that was a lot of fun with Jake Niehaus pitching all 10 innings. So
when you get in those tournaments, the smaller schools and stuff, and then sometimes even bigger schools, pitching becomes a key thing. If you get rainouts or something, that was the situation there. Jake pitched that game, but then he wasn't available for next game. So
of course, Carlinville's football team, terrific season. You know, we had a lot of teams make the playoffs. Volleyball teams from Carlinville, of course, did well, and there's just so many sports, and we get spoiled every season with some neat
Nokomis
success.
Basketball.
Nokomis basketball, of course. How could we forget their run through the state basketball tournament, And the fact that they finished third in the state this year, Coach Kimbrough finally got to end the season on a win.
Yeah,
As he said.
And, of course, when we talk to Coach Kimbrough in the fall, he doesn't have anything.
Never has a thing.
No.
Not a thing. You know, one of the funniest things I remember about the basketball season, of course, HUD, my brother-in-law Don Huddleston comes with me to postseason play, and we were in Carbondale for the super sectional where they beat Gallatin County in overtime, okay? Well, T-Town was going to play right after that, and my buddy Greg Sapp, who I went to school with at Lakeland, and he has a station there in the Totopolis area, they were covering T-Town in the next game. And it's always good to see Greg. He's a great guy, great friend. And anyway, HUD knows Greg as well because he's done a lot of stuff over in that neck of the woods as far as officiating and we were talking about the fact that T-Town was coming up next, and I remember HUD saying that one of the funniest things he said. Well, if you're looking for real announcers, they're coming up on the T-Town game on the such and such radio station. and everybody on Radio Row just started laughing with us, you know, because my gosh, that was a lot of fun that night.
We talk about it all the time, Terry, but we see in broadcasting, we see teams, schools come and go. They have high and lows, mm-hmm. and then you have schools like T-Town, Nashville, yeah. Nokomis, and these schools. Just every year they got a winner.
It's just... they kind of set the standard.
Yes, they do.
And
in the last few years, Nashville had really risen to the top of the heap in all the basketball.
You know, Nashville, Carlisle, that area right there. Oh, my gosh. That's just, in the Madison County area, just brutal competition.
Yeah, Breeze Central.
Yeah, yeah. It's a whole different, I don't know whether it's, I guess it's just tradition more than anything.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with it, and they take their high school sports very seriously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to mess with them.
Mm.
And if you can beat a team from there, you've done very well.
Yeah, and that's a great thing in the wintertime about the Highland Girls Tournament. Mm. Nashville, Carlisle, and all those schools are in there, and it's just dog eat dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure, and I need to go back and check the history books, but I still don't think anybody who's won the Highland Girls Tournament has ever won the state tournament.
I don't think
I'm going to have to check that out. So.
No.
I mean, that's like a miniature state tournament there.
See, the year that Hillsborough won the state tournament, they done well down there, but they didn't win it.
And they won it the next year
against
T-Town in that great game, but then the Toppers lost in the Supers that year.
And that was the last hurrah for Denny over at T-Town.
So that was, funny how time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Or what did Kermit...
Time's fun when you're having flies.
Yeah, that's what Kermit the Frog said.
That's right. We need to take a break. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
Steak on the grill, a crisp salad, and baked potatoes served with Prairie Farms sour cream. Plan your next cookout around farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Sour cream for the baked potatoes. Butter for vegetables and rolls. For a dip everyone will enjoy, Prairie Farms French onion, ranch, jalapeno, and bacon cheddar dip. Perfect with chips or crunchy fresh vegetables. And to quench that warm weather thirst, grab a plastic pint of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer owned.
Are you tired all the time or awake frequently at night? Does your bed partner say you snore? 1 in 15 Americans suffer from sleep apnea. You might be a candidate for a sleep study. Don't want to stay the night in the hospital? We have just the thing for you, a sleep study in the comfort of your own home. To see if you qualify, call me, Amanda Payne, respiratory therapist, at 217-532-4175. Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
And at 9:38, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for some rain. Expect a high of around 78 degrees. Partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain continuing on for tonight. We'll have a low of around 58 degrees. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies will have a high of around 70. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain on Wednesday. Expect highs in the upper 70s. The lows will be in the low 60s. At 9:38, we have a temperature reading of 65 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:40, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Terry Tote and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobin. Odd and Tobin will be attending the grand opening this afternoon of the Route 66 Tourism Center in Litchfield.
Exactly.
1 o'clock this afternoon?
The open house is from 1 until 4, and then I'll just be on hand to maybe drop in a couple drops and then get some audio for the newscast on Monday.
Okay,
so.
Sounds good.
And Tobin got another honor. It's official, but it hadn't been announced yet. He gets the honor of emceeing the Cancer MCCA's annual meeting with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be a riot.
That's called a dynamic duo there.
Yeah. Oh.
Among other things.
I don't know who's Batman and who's Robin.
We're not bringing Mickey with us now, are we?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
No.
I mean... Darn the luck. Oh.
Well, let's turn our attention to the world of baseball.
Yeah.
And how about that Mitchell Boggs, huh?
Showed him, didn't he?
I tell you, and it, as frustrating as Mitchell Boggs makes Cardinal fans, if it was easy to do, everybody could do it. This is not an easy thing he has that he's called upon to do. But he just continues to fail to do it with the Cardinals, and he's been shipped back out to AAA after giving up in that marathon game the other night, giving up a home run on the second pitch, and which tied the game, and then giving up the game-winning base hit. So,
you know, it's funny to me. I don't know whether you had the opportunity to hear the Cardinals manager's explanation of his pitching choices in that game, but he said, well, he couldn't use this guy because he came in and pitched to one batter the night before and this or that. And you know, being an older guy and going back to old-style baseball, these guys come in and throw to one batter, and then they can't pitch again for 2 days because their arms got a rest. They've lost me somewhere, and you don't ever get it's amazing if a pitcher pitches over five or six innings anymore. He's just out of gas. I don't know what's going on with him.
And if that was the case with the bullpen, go get the shortstop Pete Cosma, because I bet Pete could throw an inning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Skippy Schumacher did it. Aaron Miles used to do it once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
So if it's you're really that short in the bullpen, my gosh.
I don't know. I get lost once in a while with some of their explanations.
And the thing about Mitchell Boggs is, though, you know, and he had a pretty good year last year. Let's be honest.
He really did.
He had a good year last year. But, you know, I think the confidence in him has been shaken not only by Cardinal team members, obviously the fans has been shaken, but maybe it's in his head now.
Yeah.
So, and you don't know, you wish him the best, whatever happens.
Yeah.
But certainly, you know, if you happen to hear when he was introduced, the fans at St. Louis were not very happy. Well, few were left in the stands at that point.
Yeah, now there's good and bad and everything, and the good thing was everybody went home.
There weren't many left at that point.
So he didn't have to. Could you imagine sitting in that ballpark till 3 o'clock in the morning? I can't in my wildest dreams.
Oh, my God.
See, that proves the point. During the trade deadline or somewhere during the – they need to get another closer-type person because you can't rely on Mojica the way they've been throwing him because he's just going to crash and burn at some point. But you need to have another reliable guy that you can throw to, whether it's Rosenthal or whoever, to get that ninth inning done.
Well, yeah. The neat thing about Mojica, and you know, hopefully they're not going to use him every single day. Neat thing about Mojica is he doesn't come in throwing 100 miles an hour like the other relievers do in the seventh and eighth innings. You know, when you've got guys coming in there just throwing blazing fastballs at 100 miles per hour, and then you got Mojica coming in throwing all that junk and that off-speed pitch and that changeup. You know, these batters just don't know what the heck's going on.
No, and they will hit that 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
They will.
They'll hit that thing over into the next county.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's amazing? You talk about relief pitchers and talking about, well, I couldn't put him in because he pitched one batter the night before. So you hop, skip, and over into the American League. So you look at the stats. 42-year-old Mariano Rivera, how many saves has he got? 19.
Yeah. And although he's going to call it a career, I guess, at the end of this year. But, you know, this guy's coming off an injury, and he's still got 19 saves, and he'll pitch any day you want him to.
Look in the record book, and he's already had two careers.
Yeah. No
kidding.
No kidding.
What a standout.
You're talking about an instant Hall of Famer 5 years after
he's
there. Oh, yeah. He's a first ballot guy. I don't know how he couldn't be. So, as it stands this morning, the Cardinals have a two-game lead over both Cincinnati and Pittsburgh in the Central Division. As the Cardinals, I still think, have the best record in baseball, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
They do. They have a 660 winning percentage. They're 35-18 going into play today. So, Atlanta leads the Eastern Division by 6 games over Washington. Philly is 8 games back, and in the West, Arizona has a 4.5 game lead over the Giants. Colorado, 6 back. And in the American League, Boston and the Yankees right near each other. Boston with a 1-game lead right now. Baltimore a game and a half back. Tampa Bay 2 back. So you've got the top 4 teams in the Eastern Division within 2 games of each other. That's a wild finish. In the Central Division, Detroit leads Cleveland by 2, the White Sox by 6, as Miguel Cabrera is having another MVP-type year. My God, that guy can hit. Wow. And then Texas leads Oakland by 3 in the Western Division, and really nobody else close. The Angels are 9.5 back, but that's a long way for the Angels.
And all of a sudden in the Central Division with the Cardinals, Pittsburgh had just quietly started winning ball games.
Cubs have won 5 in a row.
Yeah.
Cubs have won 5 in a row. You know, the thing about Pittsburgh, though, after recent history, shows the collapse.
They sink in the sunshine.
You know, as the sun goes down in the west, so do the Pirates.
So they do, too.
Yeah, so do the Pirates.
And I think we all joke and laugh about the Cubs, but they're a couple years away yet, probably, but the Cubs have infiltrated some young ballplayers in there. It's coming along pretty good.
Well, Anthony Rizzo is a good place to start. You know, Starlin Castro, the shortstop, gets a lot of hits, but he seems so disinterested at times when he's in the field. And I don't know, maybe they need a veteran presence on the team to kind of snap him out of that. I don't know. I haven't been there, haven't done that. So otherwise, I think anybody and everybody's expendable for that for the Cubs now. And
but you're right, this Rizzo is
yeah, he's a ball player.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of the mainstays in that Cub organization. And we use the analogy a lot, but it's so true that if you have this huge aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean, you can't make a sharp turn.
Mm-mm.
And that's what the Cubs are doing now. They're slowly banking, slowly starting to make the turn. And, you know, within the confines of the parameters that they can use as far as salaries and options and all this sort of stuff, Cubs, you know, this is the year that they really should start making some big deals here, I would think.
If the players are available, you know, that in baseball anymore with all the expansions and stuff, the good top quality ball players, and right now the Cardinals seem to have a crop of them.
Sure.
But good quality ball players overall, they're a little bit in short supply.
You look at the owners of the Cubs, so they're trying to produce money-generating ideas for the ballpark. The Jumbotron, which I think is a horrible idea, but it's going to add revenue there.
Number one, the Jumbotron, every dang ballpark has one. What the heck are these people thinking? Well, get out of the frickin' 19th century, Cubs. Come on. You want to compete? This is how you compete, okay?
Yeah.
You know, and not only is it bad enough for the people to have to worry about the Cubs team on the field, now you get all this controversy with the Cubs off the field. Gosh, can't these guys just learn to play baseball and run a baseball team? What is it with these? Are they smoking stuff up there or what? You know,
They spend too much time across the street before the game.
It is the land of the
over at Harry's.
Yeah,
it is the land of the politicians up there.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. There's politicians in every city.
Well, that's true.
There's politicians in every town, baseball town. You know, but in the White Sox.
Yeah,
They don't have this controversy. It's the Cubs, you know, and you know you can't remain in the 19th century. It's the 21st century.
No, sometimes you don't like what's going on, but if everybody else is doing it, you got to roll with flow.
Well, either that or go back to AAA.
Yeah,
you know I've said this for years, and a lot of people think I'm absolutely crazy, and they're probably right. I wholeheartedly agree with them. They're probably right, but in European soccer. They have what they call the relegation league. So the bottom four teams in the professional leagues get relegated to the minor leagues, and the top four teams in the minor leagues get bumped up to the major leagues the following year. Now, you think about that in Major League Baseball. If you take say, the worst teams in each division, and you relegate them back to AAA, and you bring up six teams every year from AAA to the major leagues, wouldn't that put a little incentive into Major League Baseball owners?
There again,
to do better?
You look at that situation, Terry, and you can't knock success.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's working for them.
It works in English, you know, in European soccer. And that way, because you're always trying to get better.
Yeah.
You're not just, you know, sitting on your laurels. So I don't know. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah.
Baseball has so many good things going for it right now, but it's still baseball.
Well,
sometimes it does.
Baseball has the luxury of being able to sit back on their fat behinds and rake in their TV revenue.
And I'm one of the guys that sits there and watches it.
We all do.
Yeah.
But that's the big luxury that baseball has, all the money that they get off of TV revenue, you know.
But there is a feeling that, you know, you've got labor peace with baseball and that at some point that floor is going to drop and there's not going to be
the thing about baseball, they have figured out that the best way to lose money is to have a strike and lose fans.
Yeah.
They never, ever, ever want to go through that again.
No.
Never.
Because that was almost devastating.
That was, And again, it took, you know, steroids. It took Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa to bring baseball out of the doldrums.
Yeah.
And get it back on the front page. And, you know, they don't ever, ever want to do that again. Mm-hmm. And baseball, under Bud Selig, has prospered.
Yeah.
As much as I hate to admit it, you know, I still don't like interleague play, but it's not going anywhere. The DH is probably coming to the National League eventually. They're going to expand video replay for a lot of different things. So, you know, that's just, again, I'm sitting here saying, well, it's the 21st century. Well, baseball in other aspects is going to have to get into the 21st century
And the positive of it is baseball's seen what the other three, big three, have done. NHL, they've seen them.
NHL's not a big three, though.
Wipe out
NHL, you cannot consider them as part of the big three because they're not. They're a schmuck operation. They still are. They are.
But
we'll agree to disagree. But they've seen the NBA have their lockout problems. They've seen the NHL cancel a year due to a lockout problem. The NFL, they've had their issues. I think they've lived and grown a little bit. But you still got that feeling that the four may bottom out sometime.
I think they've learned from getting kicked on the shins a few times that this is not way we're going to do it.
And I think it's a maturation process here, Ralph. When you go back to the 70s when free agency first came in, you know, and this bigger money got started being thrown around for ball players and such. And then, of course, they went through the collusion area where the owner saying, hey, we're not going to spend this money. We're just not going to hire these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was an era. And then, of course, you had the labor unrest and then the steroid area to bring it. You know, baseball's kind of looked back and maybe he's learned some lessons here and saying, you know, we've kind of screwed up in the past and we got a good thing going here. And you know what? There's enough money for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, I think they finally realized there's enough money for everybody here to be successful.
And you know, you said a while ago, and it's a shame in a way, but they were adults and they got mixed up in it. And you were right. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa brought baseball back out of the pits, and neither one of them's going to really get much compensation from it for what they done. But you know, they were adults. They went into it on their own and made that decision. But Sosa and McGwire brought the game out of the doldrums.
They did.
They filled ballparks everywhere they went.
And you know, and it's maybe a generation away before they maybe are looked at in a different light. Maybe it's two generations. Maybe it'll never happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's part of the history of the game. It did happen. And, you know, I'm not advocating that it was right. All I'm saying is that there are a number of spitballers, people who cheated, who are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And their contributions were big to baseball. And I'm not saying that, you know, Mark McGwire deserved necessarily to be in there, but somewhere along the line, you're probably going to have to give him some consideration.
Well, the good thing about going on with baseball, though, look at all the teams and how many new stadiums have been built, how many are nicely renovated stadiums are being built, and how many new stadiums are currently being planned. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think pretty much every team in the league either has a renovated stadium or a brand new stadium that they're playing in currently.
Well, even eons later than his playing career, Babe Ruth is still a magic name.
Yeah,
and look at Babe Ruth when he was playing basketball. He had about every vice there was, you know. But hey,
and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, he knocked the ball out of the park, you know. The guy is still. When people talk about baseball, the name Babe Ruth always comes to the front.
You know, and that's the interesting thing, because when you talk about other sports, and whether it's the National Football League, whether it's the NBA, whether it's, you know, the National Hockey League, soccer in America, but when you say Babe Ruth, everybody knows it's baseball.
Yeah.
And I don't think any other sport has that.
They don't have that one individual that has that. You can look at the Michael Jordan's and all those people in pro basketball, but they don't have the charisma that the name Babe Ruth has.
Yeah,
Babe.
The Babe. Everybody knows about the. Even if you don't know about the Babe, you know who Babe Ruth is.
Yeah, and
except if you're a kid on the sandlot and you're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. and of course he had the luxury of playing in New York and being a Yankees during the years that the Yankees were just pounding everybody year after year, and so his legacy was just added to every year.
Yeah. Well, before long, we'll have NFL training camps, and of course, before long, the high school teams will be out there kind of doing their thing, and gosh, it's just the beginning of summer, but summer goes in a blink a lot of times.
So. Well, I told somebody the other day, I said, I look at summertime and three categories: Memorial Day, we've had, and then we'll have 4th of July, and then you have Labor Day, and boom, summer's over.
Summer's over.
You know, those are the biggies.
Speaking of the NFL, the draft got pushed back a couple weeks.
Yeah, it got pushed back.
Due to a scheduling conflict with Radio City Music Hall, but it's going to be held in May instead of the last weekend in April.
And for
you talk about making something out of nothing. That's it.
Oh,
that's
the draft?
NFL draft.
Really?
Yeah. It's you know, it's overblown. Come on, guys.
But it's all about
Come on, guys.
It's all about that magic word, M-O-N-E-Y.
There you go. It has
moved up in the world. It went from a convention room inside the Sheraton Hotel in New York to Radio City Music Hall. So,
And what are the percentages of people that actually succeed? There's the question. Yeah. Yes, there's the question.
It's just like anything else. You walk into a bar, Tobin, and say, hey, there's two women fighting out in front of the courthouse. How long do you think it'll take to empty that bar?
Depends on the day.
By the way.
Depends on the day.
And time of day. Hey, yeah, by absolutely. The way, coming up 2 weeks from today, we're going to be at the Chili Dome.
Yeah.
In Farmersville at Irish Days. We always enjoy going to the Chili Dome and speaking with our friends in Farmersville. And the neat thing about that is the smell of the chili getting, about the time the show wraps up, everybody's starting to fix their chili, that's a great time.
And when the big pot on the stove starts leaking the chili out onto the fire, somebody says, whoops, I got a little bit too much spice in there.
And then when it melts through the tabletop, you're going, I got way too much spice
in there. Yeah, I got way too much. Well, we got a lot of good friends up there, come and visit us, It's a great time and one of the oldest festivities going, and
always look forward to going to the Chili Dome. That's going to do it for Sports Saturday. Tobin Ott, thank you very much, sir. Mm-hmm. Uncle Ralph, always a pleasure, my friend. I'm Terry Tote. That's it for Sports Saturday here on this first day of June 2013. Get out and enjoy the weekend as best you can. Stick around. We've got NBC News on the Hour coming up next on WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois and America's high school sports leader, coming up on 10 o'clock at WSMI-FM.